Hi everyone, my name's PK and here in front of me are Varun and Suba, who are clients of the Property Investment Accelerator. They're migrants from India, they're IT professionals living in Sydney, and they've done tremendously well in their property investing journey. Recently bought two properties, one in WA and one in regional Queensland. But I think in this episode, we'll also talk about their mistakes. They've made a mistake previously during COVID. They lost, I think it was around $80,000 in a property deal. We'll go through their, or especially perhaps Varun's love for quantum physics and how that relates to their property investing. We'll go through how they bought really quickly in Townsville within 4 hours of the property listing. And we'll also talk about how they've done a lot of this while overseas on holidays, and we'll just see where it goes. But this episode will hopefully bring not only kind of like, you know, how they've done it, but real deep dives into particular tactics and strategies. So for those of you at home that are listening, you can replicate that and hopefully avoid the mistakes that they've made, unfortunately, and replicate their success, which, you know, they're going again and again. Welcome to the Oz Property Investment Mastery Podcast. My name's PK and I help busy people build passive income by buying top 5% growth and cash flow property and build a portfolio using data without wasting months doing research, spending weekends at inspection or catching flights, or dropping $10,000 to $20,000 on buyer's agents every single time. So if you're confused, lack confidence, and just overwhelmed with all the information and marketing misinformation available online and don't know where to start, then this show is for you. Well, let's start from the start. Like, what you actually just recently told me about that sort of property blunder that you made. But let me ask the first question. You know, you were obviously migrants from India to Australia. What has been your property journey like, you know, before you did the course?
Sure, PK. So probably I'll start first. So as you said, we are first generation migrants, moved in, and we did not have much help. So we were just exploring things by ourselves. I still remember the first property that we got was a townhouse, and it took a long time for us to save the deposit. And the reason why we bought the townhouse was just because our friends lived close by. So we bought the property and we lived in there for like probably 5-6 years, and we realized that it's not appreciating. And when we bought the property as well, most of our friends, like, they were buying in Schofields in Sydney, and we bought it closer to the city, thinking that it's easy for commute and all of that, and it's a townhouse. So by that time, when it was like 6 years and we were like, oh, this is not appreciating, and we could literally just see the difference between the choice that we made and the choice that our friends made. Mm-hmm. Schofields was appreciating a lot, whereas the town has that we had hasn't appreciated at all. So that's the first mistake that we made. So we were like, okay. And there was also some personal situations at that point in time. So what we did was we rented that property and we moved to Stanmore. So when we moved to Stanmore, it was a narrow house. And that was for my son's school. We moved there and it was tiny, narrow. And that was when COVID hit. So okay, we were like, okay, this is not helping. So we wanted a bigger space. And that's when we decided, okay, let's buy another property. And so what we did was, that's right at the start of COVID, we started looking for another property in Western Sydney and closer to a famous public school. So we were like, okay, let's go figure out what's going on there. And we ended up getting our PPO, which also has a granny flat to it, massive land, like as in block size, which is closer to 1,000 square meters, and with a granny flat. So that was at the point of like start of COVID, where most of the people were hesitant to buy a property, and we were like, okay, we would go into the property check-in every week, and we were like, okay, let's, it worked out for us. The school was good, the community was good, so we chose that property. And what happened was, we bought it for 1.3k, and it was like 6 months, 1.3 million. And in 6 months, it jumped from 1.3 million to 1.85 million. So we were like, wow, this is so cool. It's an old property. It's an old property. It was, you know, all we did was just painted it, added a fence, and it jumped up high. But in between that as well, we made few other choices. Probably I'll let Varun share that.
We selected a suburb very close to the city. I would say just 5 kilometers away from the city. And then we looked for the apartment, and one of the prestigious apartment builder is with whom we went with the contract. It's off the plan type. So it was in 2018. We signed the contract, 10% deposit has been done, and we've been promised by the builder saying that it will be released by 2019, late 2019, right? So back then, we don't know when COVID is hitting. We are all excited, waiting for this one. Then we got this. And then again, the excitement happened, looking at the Western Sydney Airport being kind of a big news. And then there were property hypes going there. So when I was assisting for Subhaskar's in for a property purchase and looking for property, I ended up buying a property as well. It's a house and a land package. Again, the settlement is around late 2020. We were happy. And then just entering into the COVID, which is where early 2020 border was closed down. The settlement was nearing for the apartment type property. And then exactly, I still recall those tough times. It's on mid-March, the builder called up and said, hey, the property is ready. Let's go for settlement in 30 days, right? So the situation, the real situation, I lost 20% of my work time because of COVID on each week basis. So there's a loss in my income. And Subha had a tough time in her work as well. So then at the same time, we put that property for valuation. The valuation, banks doesn't know how to react to COVID. It was very important. And looking at my present situation at work and income on all these things, the bank came saying that we are short of 150K by evaluation. We don't know what to do. I was trying to juggle, trying to react. Okay, let's see some other agent who can sell the property so that we can recover from the loss, the 10% deposit we made because of the border lockdown. And we don't know what the forecast is.
This was the house and land package?
This was for the apartment.
This is the apartment.
City. And no buyer was there. And we let it go. And we let it go on 10% of the deposit. It's a big, huge money for a median price. It's a premium apartment, I should say, because it's a premium builder anyway. For a 3-bedroom plus one study kind of configuration apartment. And the loss we made is a huge loss. And honestly, to open up, I personally went on to anxiety and depression because of the loss. And also, it's all about the decision that I made, that the excitement that I had and the emotional excitement that I had without factual data. And luckily, Subha was very supportive back then on my recovery. And that's where I got into, with my help of the gym coach and other people, into the exposure to Dr. Joe Dispenza, Jay Shetty, and all these beautiful souls, which I will talk about that later. But that's the kind of an exit path that we took from that apartment, the investment that we made from apartment with a huge mm-hmm. drop. And then at the same time, when I'm talking about the property in the Western Sydney, next to the Western Sydney Airport, that was significantly delayed. They forecasted the delay already. And in fact, all these builders, they know, you know, everyone would have told, they started bumping up the price because of the price variation and all these things. All went through. And that property came to a settlement in 2022. That was significantly a delight. But by then, we were settled in this property, which is in a premium suburb. And that's where we saw the value of the suburb selection.
Sure.
To the point of all these, week two, the importance of the course materials on week two and week three. But all the factors, if I recall, or when I was studying the course, I could just correlate what this property, the current property, what we bought, the performant was doing, what the non-performant, which is townhouse, was doing.
Yeah.
So I was literally able to compare that. And that's a profound experience I got when I went through the course.
Right. Thank you for sharing that, both Suba and Varun. And obviously, like what you've demonstrated is that property decisions are big decisions. And whether you lose 10,000, 80,000, 200,000, whatever it is, like they can really take a toll on your mindset and on your self-belief and anxiety and all of that sort of stuff. And I'm glad that you've come out the other side stronger and better. But it's such a good lesson for all of us that, you know, just because, and I know it wasn't booming back then, but even now, just because the property market is going up in a lot of different locations, that doesn't mean that we should just, you know, put a blindfold on and just get in with FOMO. And you know, property is not guaranteed to just go up. Every single property goes up in Australia. That's not how it happens. And I think that's a recipe for disaster. And I just want to just, if you don't mind, go one level deeper, because what you're sharing is a common sort of story amongst immigrants. And I think everyone's guilty of it, not just immigrants, but especially migrants. You know, we come, or you come to Australia, to Sydney or Melbourne, let's say, and there's a community, and the community has, you know, a lot of influence on your behavior, on your decision making, because you're, let's say, relatively new to the country. And if close people, family, friends, colleagues, whatever they are, they say this suburb is great, or, you know, buy this type of apartment, don't buy that, or buy a house and land package, or don't buy interstate. Like, what are you doing buying interstate? Sydney is the best city in Australia. You know, I'm asking this question. The question is, you guys are very educated and intelligent and rational people. And you know more than me that, you know, money is hard earned and we shouldn't waste it. Yet we still make decisions based on other people's opinions. Like, can you just take me through your mindset of listening to others versus even, like, forget me, like, put my course out of the question, just listening to others, making two or three property decisions versus just settling down, listening to your own intelligence, your own mind, and saying, okay, what do I think would be the best decision? Do you understand my question here? It's like that contradiction.
In short, right? We were not educated at that point in time. We were just, it's kind of like trial and error, trying to figure out, okay, let's go figure out this one. So by that time, PK, we pretty much made all the mistakes that an investor shouldn't make, like getting a townhouse, getting an off-the-plan apartment, and also the land and package. But I guess, like, that's when we thought, okay, Varun, we have done enough mistakes. And so we got the one in Welcome Hills, which is the PPO that we had with Granny Flat. And that's a turning point for us.
Yeah.
Totally shifted, like having experienced so many, mostly negative experience into positive experience. That's when our focus shifted and we made like 500K equity in 6 months. We were like, oh, wow, this is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And how long does it take to earn this 500K? And if so, that means we have implemented this correctly in a way, like the suburb is good, the property is good, the land component is good, the school closer to the, you know, the house is good. So we thought, okay, this is a good one. But then we were also that so we have gained enough from our mistakes that we made that has primed us up. And also we were like, okay, so educating ourselves was something we thought like it would be the, you know, is what was missing. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started, you know, like learning a lot of things. And I bumped into your Facebook page.
I mean, it seems like that principal place of residence and it going up by 500K, that is what instilled into you the confidence that actually real estate as an investment vehicle could work for me as well, even though you'd made some mistakes and perhaps not had the best experiences. But the fact that you were willing to invest, I mean, I don't know if this is true, don't quote me on it, but I think most people think the way to get ahead financially is to save, you know, save more and more and more and more, work hard, save. But, you know, an astute saver will never be as far ahead as an astute investor. And of course, it's not a competition, but those are just the facts. And I think at least you had this mentality that I want to invest again. I do want to get ahead through some sort of investment vehicle. And now that your principal place of residence has done well, you presumably, you know, said, okay, let me go back into the real estate market and really learn this time. Was it, I mean, obviously I always talk about data and stuff like that. Was it around this time, around 2020, 2021, that you kind of got into quantum physics? And is that the connection or the resonance that you had with my sort of narrative on YouTube or Facebook, or why did you do the course?
Great question. So the exposure to quantum physics as against to Newtonian physics or the model, that basically, that kind of exposure was in mid of 2020 when I was trying to secure this property, and it happened applying the principles as well. But the real playground, or I should say the sandbox, happened personally to me. And I was deliberately using that with your course. And Subha will talk about how she bumped into this this course, because she already purchased, not to mention a bigger another course as well to become a buyer's agent, and she invested the money there.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
So then she came to me saying that, oh, we have this guy called PK, and he has methodologies and strategies. Let's buy this course as well. I was like, already there is something sitting there.
Yeah, do what you paid for first.
There's another one. So I have to believe on people and their approach as well. So she has gone through your videos a lot of times. So she used to sit in course. So far, she listens to you, to your podcast at the bedroom as well, and a lot of places. So I not implicitly have listened to it as well. So that's where I got exposure to your course. And and the plan was we both need do each week study, mm-hmm, sync up on everyday basis. Very aggressive plan. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In work, I learned week one, she learned week one. And I'm still trying to digest it. She had moved to week three. So she did week two and week three.
Does that mean she's smarter than you? Is that what that?
I'm just joking. But the way I do is I do that course or anything. I write it in my notes kind of stuff. So it was a lengthy learning curve process. So then I said to her, see, I'm bailing out. You go with your own pace. Mm-hmm. And this is where the aggression started, because then she did the course and I understood that she did complete coverage. Then she started looking for property in QLD, and again she was like, oh, there's an offer, we need offer in mid 600 or high 600 kind of stuff, and she started pouring the number in the kind of an offers. And I was like, I did the course, PK's course, in first week for the first week content. It is very methodical, very systematic. There is a process oriented to it. So why Shubha is doing this? Or it could be that the emotional factor is getting into picture. Then I took a step back, I think a weekend, starting Friday evening, late evening, I just went on a marathon run. And that's where the quantum physics applied. I was every minute, every second, I was into the mindset of PK is talking to me, PK is telling me, and I'm just questioning myself, when I'm into this situation, when I'm into the suburb selection phase, what would I do? What would PK will talk about it? So those are the points that were coming on and resonating me, resonating my mindset. And in fact, I was placing my quantum physics model as well, as where I was in that phase already. I was in that property selection phase already. I was in that negotiation phase already when I was doing the course week 3, week 4, week 5 kind of stuff. And I was, people call me as very aggressive in terms of communication. So your course about behavior economics was very good in distilling me from that kind of aggressiveness in terms of how I should present to the real estate agent, how I need to present to the prospective property managers in order to look after the property kind of stuff. So those 3 days was still mind-blowing for me, even if I think about it. So I did drives, a lot of drives as well to temple. I was thinking about it. And every minute and every second, even I know at which second, what you were talking about, what topic you were talking about. And I don't know, these are my notes that I took a printout of. Basically the week 4, how to conquer the property, week 5, how to do the behavioral economics. And I make a notes as well, what I need to do it, what I need to be very cautious about in terms of the property. So this is something which I'm sitting with me. You see how much of squeeze I have made anyway for the 2 properties, but it's like sitting with me for six months now since I started the course itself, and I will keep it forever until my journey ends. I don't think it will end.
Yeah, it's so inspiring for me to hear both of you, because it really seems that property investing can sometimes be seen as a side thing, you know, it's a vehicle by which we make money. But for you guys, especially perhaps you, Varun, it seems like you've imbibed the lifestyle of a property investor. Like, you've really immersed yourself in the concepts of investing and the behavioral science of property investing. And I think that's a credit to you, because property investing is not, it seems transactional, like, yeah, every now and then we buy a property and hopefully they go up and hopefully we make money and retire early. But to actually retire early, to actually achieve that financial freedom, you do need to, focus. You do need to live and breathe property, because it's not just a transaction. Every 3 months you might want to revalue it. You might try to get the interest rate down. You might want to do a small renovation, get the rent up. You might want to do this and that. Not that any of that takes a lot of time, but the more touch points you have, it's like it ingrains itself in your lifestyle. And one thing that I always hear other people say is like, and this is kind of tangential, is like, if you want to get into meditation, don't just meditate 5 minutes a day, because, you know, there's only so much benefit that you'll get from 5 minutes a day. And of course, there's lots of benefit, but you'll probably give it up because it's a hard habit to establish. But if you go on a retreat for like 2 days, 3 days, really immerse yourself in like a meditative retreat or a transformative retreat, then you'll get such a drive, such a taste for meditation. Then after that, 5 minutes a day will be like breezy, and you'll never give it up because you're like, I experienced it in such a deep way that this is for sure going to be part of my lifestyle. So it really seems like that is what you guys have done. You've really immersed yourself in property investing, all those notes that you made from the course, etc., that it will stick with you. And even if you experience ups and downs, which all investors do. You've probably already experienced most of your downs. You know, you're not going to give it up. You realize this is a long term trajectory, and it's worth it. I want you to give some advice, if you can, for people who perhaps have experienced hardship in real estate and maybe have given up on the thought that property investing is for them. Maybe their borrowing capacity ran out. Maybe they bought a property that didn't go up in value. Maybe they're now heavily negatively geared because of interest rates the way they are. Maybe they had like tenant trash, all these horror stories. And that kind of makes people think, you know, like property investing, fine. There's YouTube channels, there's people like PK spruiking property, but you know, for the everyday person, it doesn't really work. What's kind of your advice from a mindset perspective to folks like that?
It's a great question, PK. And also you touched about how you ingrain yourself and how you change your personality from the past memories and then moving towards the future. It's not very easy. I'm doing meditation every day, and every day is a struggle, and every day is a different experience, so to speak.
You and me both, yeah, 100%.
So what I would say is, and when you have a question on confidence and question on how to do things right, it's all about the belief system. And the belief system, and I have gone through a lot of mentorship consults. So if you have doubt, people say, and people, and with all respect, they say, go and have a read about PK's course, go through that recordings, which is really great. But my starting point, and this is where I questioned Subha's very aggressive word, integrity, about how she understood PK's concept and then trying to place an offer. The reason is it was very methodical. The starting point is the quantum wealth creation tool. That's the starting point, which is from week one. Mm-hmm. And again, week two and week three, when you transition, you will slowly transition into investment accelerator tool as well. These two are so much powerful. If I want to chop a log, I need the proper tool, which is axe. And this is what I had. So I started with what my portfolio is. And then, as I said, I lived every breath with you on those three days. When I was transitioning to the wealth creation or the accelerator tool, investment accelerator tool, I was able to visualize where I'm heading to. Fourth and fifth properties are going to be, where it is going to be, how it would look like, but I was able to sense it. I was able to feel it using those tools. And the experience, you will get it before in hand, before the actual thing happens in your real life. And that's what is, when we call it as quantum physics, it's all about experiencing future things before it happens in your real life. And that has occurred. And today, even if if I need to have a look onto it, where am I heading to? I will go and look at these two sheets, which is well up to date. And I keep looking at, okay, what's happening kind of stuff. So that's a great thing. But how to overcome yourself from the hardships? It's more of I would say discipline is a very harsh word, to so to speak. But again, going through this is the process, and then revisiting the process again and again. I personally had the doubt about this course on my first property when I was trying to secure in QLD. Though I was in India, I was questioning why it's not working. Why it is competitive market, it's a different magnitude of play that we need to make, but why is it not working? Again, it's a fundamentals. Again, we are going through the fundamentals. Very well focused. Okay, what is that I'm struggling? First question is, you need to ask, which area am I struggling? Is it on content of week two or week four? Is it that I've selected the property, I have cornered out, triangulated all the suburbs, I've selected the property, it's on the negotiation phase, I'm all failing. So in my second phase of this journey, what I was struggling is with the negotiation. And amazingly, and Shubha even commends me for that, my communication skill has improved a lot. I've established such a behavioral change through your course, especially to have a contact with a person whom we physically haven't seen each other.
Sure.
But establishing the relationship and trust with the sales agent, and then getting into the flow, getting to their space, and making the things done. And that's where this paper is not just for the property, but again, I can use it, I can prime it for anything else that I want to venture on.
Sure, sure. But very, very well answered. And I think to re-summarize what you said in the first part of your answer, you know, when you're struggling with mindset, it's like if you want to chop down a tree in the woods, you know, if you're just standing there without any apparatus, that tree's not going to get chopped down by yourself. So you need the tools. Of course, you refer to the tools in the course, but even if you're not in the course, you need to find the tools. You need to find the axe. You know, you have to ask people, ask mentors, there's Facebook groups, other communities. You have to ask for the tools, because without it, you know, you can't manifest something if you're not actually going to put yourself in that field of activity and actually engage with the field. Being on the outside and watching YouTube channels and a lot of content, that's not putting you sufficiently in the field of activity. You actually need to interact. And I think that connects with that second point that you made, is that behavioral change. Of course, it's not just that, you know, someone who's a migrant that has an issue, you know, non-migrants will have that issue as well, being shy, not being able to build rapport with property managers, sales agents, et cetera, et cetera. But once again, if you identify that that's the issue, let's say it was, then that's easy to overcome. And the only way to overcome it is through action, is through practice. And then if you look at yourself now, Varun, you're very articulate, a very good communicator. Shubha, I just want to ask you one question. Because as Varun said rightly, across Australia, doesn't matter where you buy, it seems to be, you know, incredibly hot market. And obviously there are reasons for it. We're in record low listings level, probably never in history. And the demand is very, very high, and not least because of the record migration in the last few years. When people struggle, Shubha, in securing a property, you know, let's say they've selected a suburb, and they keep putting in offers and they keep missing out. And then the monkey mind tells them, this is too hard for me. I can't do it, right? And Varun, you made that point of, okay, well, let's assess where you're going wrong. Is it the suburb is just simply too hot and you have to go to a cooler suburb? Is it that you're not valuing these properties correctly, and so therefore you don't even stand a chance because you're lowballing too much? Is it because the agent hasn't have any rapport with you, and therefore even if you're valuing it correctly, the agent doesn't care about you? Or is it something else? You know, you have to identify the problem. Shubha, when I don't know if you were doing the work or if Erin was doing the work, but perhaps even if Erin was doing the work as an observer, how did you guys overcome that from a practical perspective? Because you missed out on properties, whether it's the WA one or whether it's the Queensland one. How were you able to buy in such a fiercely hot market?
Yeah, so before we landed on South Bunbury property in WA, we were, as Varun was saying, we were looking at Queensland just because we were like, okay, we wanted to buy one in Queensland. That was when Varun wasn't actively involved in the course, but I have learned most of your course and things like that. But then emotionally, I was attached to Queensland because I made my mind that I wanted to buy something in Queensland. So I was like looking into it and making some offers for the property and everything. And it wasn't working because I was offering too low, or probably the market was so hot in Brisbane at that point in time as well. So we were missing out. There was one in Deception Bay, which we loved it. And then we were, you know, like hoping that would get through, but then that did not happen either. So that's when Varun saw me struggling and he was like, okay, I'll help you with it.
Okay.
I started literally like studying your course and implementing it on side by side. So that's when the data pointed us to South Bunbury, and we were like, oh, wow, everything was looking good, and we would I would look into the so he would do the research side of things, the data side of things, and then he will tell me that this is why I think this suburb is going to perform well over a period of time, and the infrastructure projects as around it and all of that. So he would give me, he would convince me with the data points, and then I would then go look into the houses and everything, give a call to the agents and talk through with the agents and everything. And when I saw the property, the South Bunbury property, it was, it just was advertised in the market, and I went to Varun, and then I'm like, Varun, I think this is a great property, and I will leave it with you. You do your CMA analysis and all of that, come up with your price point, and let's see how we go. So I was like, so this is ticking all the factors that we are after, like the size of the land is good, the property is so good, because we didn't want to get anything that's very old, and we were a bit, you know, and even buying it interstate was all a very new experience for us, because we would literally go into the property, check each and every corner of the property. So it was like, but your course gave us a lot of confidence in it, PK. So I was like, Varun, this is great. We need to lock this in. And I handed it over to him, and we ended up buying the South Bunbury. And as he said,
she's closing it off very simply, but it was such a pressure, PK, because South Bunbury was not in my suburb selection list at all in my spreadsheet.
Right.
Eaton, Australian, and few other suburbs were in my list. South Bunbury was not, but she came to me at exactly at 5:30, just before dropping the kid to music class. She said, I'm dropping the kid, do this work. And so it was in 45 minutes to 90 minutes marathon run. Because I did my flex my muscles with your course, with the process, I was able to get it done in 45 minutes. The suburb selection or suburb assessment was made through the tool. And then I was, then it is a fresh start for CMA as well, as mm-hmm. you know. So I was grasping the data for the CMA tool as well, and then comparing that data be this property. Again, South Bunbury didn't have a lot of data points. There was not much activity. So how to apply the indexing as well.
Yes.
So to the point, when the hot market is there, the indexing, meaning I've gone through that course as well, like a lot of mentorship calls people were talking about. And you have explicitly made a particular episode about it, about how to do this indexing. Don't just go with the data points and this tool itself.
Yeah.
We applied this one, and then I said, this is the buffer to play with. It's all up to you. Back then,
okay. I haven't
done the behavioral economics yet back then. So I was not confident to speak to any of the sales agent. So I left to Shubha.
Right.
And by then as well, I wanted to mention this. By then as well, we had a good rapport with Mike Akrami. So he was... Yes. He wasn't our mortgage broker, but then one of the interview that you had with Prashant, I had some questions around renovation and things like that. So I reached out to him. So we were having a good, you know, conversation with Mike Akrami, and he helped us so much as well. Like as in what I also really, and he helped us with the property that we got in 25, I mean, the Townsville one.
Mm-hmm.
What I realized was having a right mortgage broker by your side is the key as well, because
yes.
helped us really, you know, work out our conditions in the contract and things like that, the finance conditions and things like that, which made it quite attractive to the seller. And that was really helpful as well, PK.
Right. Yeah, big shout out to Michael Krami. He's, you know, as you guys know, he quit his job, I think, last year or something. And I don't know how many properties he's bought, but he's such a fantastic client and a fantastic person who's very successful in his own right now. Okay, so I really appreciate it. Looks like you did a tag team sort of effort, and you're sort of dividing and conquering the process of buying property. I love to hear it. I'm just conscious of time. I just maybe ask one last question.
Sorry,
go ahead. Yeah, Varun.
I think one of the key takeaway from my side in terms of dealing with hot market is not to lose faith with the process, not to lose faith on the content itself.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same experience, I was like going round and round. I strangulated 4 suburbs for QLD, the second property purchase. Then I expanded it to 8 suburbs, and I had those sheets as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then I just asked myself, is it something that I'm doing wrong? Let's go back to the fundamental. And indexing helps. And indexing is something, it's a kind of a data science. And you would never know whether you've done the right thing or not. How much of buffer are you adding? And is that correct? Or have I gone wrong? But again, by the CMA tool, by doing this, by understanding the slider, what percentage, is it positive percentage or negative percentage? Is it inferior or superior? Comparing that, we can surface up the data confidently. And that's the kind of confidence I got it in the second journey, the second
property. Right.
Even the first property journey, I was a bit of like doing guess estimate, so to speak. But in the second journey, it was awesome to use that slider and to see where it is standing and then applying that indexing. So I wanted to finish it off there that indexing is very important. And also the other touch points like creating the relationship, going and speaking with people and other things. But to me, indexing helped us a lot because we started, what is my starting buffer? And then what is the maximum? Okay. And then we started with middle range within the negotiation, and we were right on the call. Subha was telling, she was writing it on the paper while I was on the call, finalizing the price, the price point. We said we will give 407. Done. Deal done.
Okay.
So that was confidence, and it was done in 15 minutes, so to speak. That's the fastest pace I could secure a property. I don't know whether I can.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, you're going through a lot of detail, but you know, the suburb selection was done in 45 minutes, although under time pressure. The CMA, the valuation was done in 15 minutes. All these things haven't necessarily taken a long time, but they've just required like rewiring of your brain, perhaps, and a lot of focus. Obviously, you've now got those 2 properties you bought through the course. They're yielding, you know, 6% plus. They're good affordable pockets under 500K. They're rising in value on a daily, or I should say monthly basis. It's been a journey. I don't want to say that it's all been smooth sailing. You know, there's been a lot of self-growth through the process. But looking back on it, like, are you happy that you did the course, that you bought these properties, even though, yes, there was work involved? Or in hindsight, would you have rather, I don't know, bought property in Schofield? Or, you know, you did that buyer's agent course, I think you mentioned before, had just outsourced it to a buyer's agent. Like, are you happy you went down this journey? Or do you think there would have been a better way to do it?
I will start it and I will lead it to Shubha. Even if for the second property, Shubha went in for a buyer's agent. Even after getting exposed to your course,
we did
purchase a property through your course. Then to expedite things, the mindset was, oh, let's go through a VA. And we spent an amount, initial deposit, to go and secure the property in QLD. And she will talk about that experience anyway.
That's a very good one.
But again, having said that, the question is, was it kind of tiring exercise? I wouldn't say that. I would think of the rewarding experience that I have received. When you learn new things, you enrich your neurons in your brains, and then it activates more positivity around it. Because you are learning something, you are disconnecting from the past behaviors and then enriching your experiences. So that's how rewarding it is for me. And to me, there are a lot of aspects about your course and content, but I have to talk about data. People talk about data. Data is gold. Data is now in the next oil kind of stuff. But you, for a layman person, how can I leverage the data? There are so many data points. People talk about core logic and other things, but I don't know how to use it. Being an IT professional, I don't want to name the industry, but I have came from the same industry where you left. So I know how much of data points they use to see what would be the next best action for a customer.
Sure.
I've seen that, and that's where I've seen the importance of the data and the data points that you were talking about. To me today, this is a learning curve. This is how I will enrich it, and I will enrich it and apply the same principle for any journey that I would step it, and could be a kind of a role model for my kid as well to follow that.
Wonderful.
That sets the foundation, and that's what is the rewarding experience I got from this course. Yes, of course, two properties, but that's the output that everyone knows. But what is the implicit benefit that we get? And that's how I see it.
I like that. Thank you for answering.
Yeah, for me, PK, the challenge was we were time poor, both of us. Full-time working, have lots of commitments, you know, like both at work and at home. So even though I have gone through your course, which was really very interesting, I did not put it down. I was continuously going on and on and on. The challenge that was, it was just me at the start. And I was, you know, anything for the first time is hard. So I was struggling with it. And that's when one of our friends, they were getting a property in Queensland with a buyer's agent. So we were like, okay, maybe we don't have the time to implement the course. Maybe let's go with the buyer's agent. And I was going through a course with an intention that I would validate what the BA is doing. So I was like, okay, I have gathered the knowledge. Now that I'm across this, whatever the options that the BA is going to present me with, let me validate it. That was my intention. So, but when we signed up and when he got the properties presented to us, I realized that he wasn't adding much value. It was, you know, and your statement of no one cares for your money as much as you do. I realized it, you know.
You realized it.
I realized that the property was either on the market for too long, or if it is an off-market deal, it's not worth for what we are paying, and so on and so forth. And that's when I was telling Varun, look, we need to take off the property journey in our control. BAs are not going to help us. We just literally need to do it ourselves. And that is when we started taking control of the property journey. Hmm. And that's how I pulled around saying that, you know what? No one is going to work for our money as much as we do. So let's put in that effort.
Right.
And we were really happy with whatever decision we have made for the last two investment properties.
Okay. Just to add that efforts, what she's talking about, once you flex the muscles, as I said, it is not going to take much of the time. As you do every day, you're doing 10 push-ups. Then if you're increasing it by two, it's easier. And doing the same thing, it's much more easier as well. And that's how I see your course as well.
Yeah.
Once I've gone through that and have my hands dirty on it, and you ask me, Varun, I'm giving you 5 suburbs. You go and do this analysis and get me something. I should be able to confidently say, give me 3 hours. I would be able to narrow down a few properties, couple of properties in each of the suburb, and give you a report.
Amazing. Amazing. Spoken with so much confidence. I mean, these days, there are so many people who, a bit like you were saying, Shubha, actually do the course because they don't have time to do it themselves. They still do the course, then outsource it to a buyer's agent to be able to validate what the buyer's agent is saying. And, you know, sometimes they make the life really difficult for a buyer's agent, and the buyer's agent's like, I don't know if that was really worth $15,000, the like dozens of hours I spent with this client. But, you know, that a lot of people do that, and that's they use the course as a tool right? And they do it that way. But others who you have that kind of mindset that you do, or realize that mindset through the ways that you've realized, they realize actually, look, there's no shortcut to success. You know, even if I'm a high net worth individual, even if I've got, you know, there's two salaries coming in, 200K, 200K, whatever, and I think that I'm pretty well off and my time is better spent elsewhere, still, there's no shortcut to success. If I'm going to get out of the rat race, no one takes care of my money as much as I do. No one cares about me as much as I do. And I think the people who realize that and then dig their heels in like you did, they're the ones who really catapult themselves to success. And then in hindsight, they realize, actually, that wasn't that hard. That wasn't that that time consuming, a bit like you're saying, Varun. But rather, I just needed to flex my muscles. I just needed to actually go to the gym. And then I realized I actually love the gym. You know, now I can't stop going to the gym. That's what it is. It's just the gym for the mind. You know, first time you use it, it's like, oh my God, I can't lift that weight. But then after a while, it's like, no, all I want to do is lift weights. But look, we're going on and on. So I do want to be conscious of time and wrap it up. But there was so much more that I wanted to cover that we didn't get to, but I do want to say thank you so much for, I know you're not, you know, you're a little bit camera shy, you're not, this isn't like friendly territory for you to be like doing this interview. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for sharing your journey, your ups and your downs, your struggles and your successes. And I think most importantly, the mindset shifts that you've had. And I think there'll be a lot of people, probably thousands, that will get benefit from hearing what you've said, and hopefully we'll try to emulate what you've achieved. And I always say, look, there's more than 100 of these types of client results on my playlist, client results playlist on YouTube. But honestly, for me, it's not about that anymore. I don't really care if, you know, anyone does the course or not. But I hope that people watch this, listen to this, watch all those other sessions to gain knowledge and inspiration from people who have been there and done that, and then do it themselves, do it DIY, even without me if you want, but at least do it, because in 10, 20, 30 years, you won't regret it. But before we finish off, anything that lastly you want to say, guys?
Thanks again. Meaning my sincere gratitude to you and the community that you built, because the course is a starting point, but the community helped us a lot. I have to thank personally, and my sincere gratitude to them, the professional response that we get from them, and the honest response as well. And there are a lot of enablers as well in the community, which I don't know how we categorize them, mm-hmm. but they are amazing. And it's not possible without them as well. And what the tool that you have provided through this course, which is the community itself, and access to the forum, and access to the lifelong mentorship calls recordings, is amazing, because of course my neurons will go into an hibernate state after a break, then I have to activate it.
Right.
These the portal itself is enabling me, and thanks to you, PK.
I love it. Yeah, I could never have expected the community would become what it is. And like rightly said, you meet people like Mike and so many others that are absolutely enabling, you know, overcoming of blockages and hurdles. So yeah, well said. But thank you again, Varun. Thank you again, Shubha. And thank you again, everyone, for listening. And I'll see you next time.